Beautiful. Absolutely. Well, good morning, friends. We are moving into our second week of this series called Change Your World, where we're going to be looking at Galatians 5 throughout this whole series and talking about this fruit of the Spirit. And I wanted to start out with one question. When they were having the children's moment and she was talking about bearing fruit, did anybody find it nearly impossible not to break out in song singing the bare necessities from the Jungle Book? Da-da-da. Bear necessities. You did, miss. You almost did? No, you did not. Okay. This judgment. That's cool. Okay. All right. Well, I told you last week, I told you a story about me going out to Heritage Park for soccer. Was anybody there at Heritage Park yesterday for soccer? Anybody there? Yeah, the lucky few, the few, the chosen. That's right. Yep. And I don't know if you know this, if you've been to Heritage Park, not only is the traffic something that you have to deal with, but it is also the coldest place on earth. I don't know if you've been, but whatever the temperature says it is 20 degrees colder than that in the winter slash spring. And then when you start back in the fall, and you always forget it was high 60s and sunny, right? And then we go, and I wish I had gloves and a toboggan. It was so cold. So we're sitting out there. We had two games, and luckily this time, we had two games at once. So last week, I told you about I was trying to back out of the parking lot, and somebody moved in front of me, and so I backed out, but there was a lady behind me, and I knew what I was doing, obviously, and she didn't know what she was doing. And so I started to back out, and I was going to pull forward, but she honked at me. And I admitted last week that I have a fight or flight response, and when she honked at me, I had that adrenaline rush. Does that ever happen to you? You ever get that adrenaline rush? You know what I'm talking about? And I told you about how I had a choice in that moment as to what kind of person I wanted to be. So I rolled down my window and asked her to roll down hers so that I could explain to her what I was doing. But then I told you how you could tell she had some arthritis because she was trying to give me the peace sign, but she could only manage half of it. Because she didn't understand what I was doing. So this week, I decided, I've got a few options. What am I going to do? And so I decided I could be nice and I could wait, because we ended up, everybody leaves at the same time. It doesn't matter what time your game gets over. Everybody in that parking lot is leaving at the exact same time. And so we go, and we're parked near the front. I thought parking, or like near the exit. I thought parking near the exit would be smart, and it was really dumb. Because then everybody's backed up behind you and you got to wait on the people all the way out there. So it's at the end of the game and there's probably a few minutes left on one of the boys' games and he was out that quarter because he had played the others or that period of time. And I was like, you know what? We could be nice and we could wait, right? And we could let everybody go. So I was thinking, what am I going to do? What kind of person am I? So I sprinted to the van to beat them all. And I sat there trying to back out. And every person that would come by, I would start to back out and they would nose further and look at me and just shake their heads because they were all waiting. And so then I'm finally like backing out and I'm backing out and I'm getting ready to get in line to leave. And you know who's not in the car? Everybody else in my family. It's just me in the van. Look, Nikki's down here nodding. And so then I'm getting ready to pull forward to leave, and I get a knock on the back, and I look, and my son's standing back there going like this. And so then I open the door, and they pile in, and I was like, success! And we ended up having to go the other way out. We couldn't go right. That took too long. If I'm moving, even if it takes the same amount of time, I'm going to do that. If I got to sit still, I'm going to be less a version of what we find in Galatians 5. And so I'm telling you that this morning because I am not perfect, and I know that you know that. There's no illusions to that, right? There's no illusions to that. That's why my wife sits on the front row, so when I make a mistake, she can tell me that I got it wrong. But I want you to hear that when we talk about this fruit of the Spirit, it is something that we are all striving to be and to become. When we talk about what it looks like to live, and Anna Claire named all of these fruits of the Spirit, it was wonderful, but what it's like to be that kind of person, it is a constant struggle. It is something we constantly live towards. It is something we are constantly refining. And the only time we're not doing it is when we stop even trying to do it. Sometimes we get to a place where we're stagnant and we no longer think we need to change and we've got it all figured out. And that is the most dangerous place. Because that's the place where we begin to focus on everybody else and their problems like I was doing at Heritage Park, instead of focusing on how we are becoming the people of God. And so I'm going to share with you from Galatians 5 today. I'm going to share with you these verses. It's 16 through 26. And we're going to remind ourselves, and then we're going to dive into one of them in particular. Now, It says, starting with verse 16, I say, be guided by the Spirit, and you won't carry out your selfish desires. Now, here's what I think we forget when we talk about the fruits of the Spirit. You see, there's a lot of times in Scripture where they give a list of things that you are probably doing wrong. And this is one of those times. The gifts of the Spirit come right after Paul gives a list to the Galatians. You know what the Galatians are fighting about? You know what they're fighting about? Somebody say it out loud so I don't have to.
Circumcision.
Thank you. That's right. They're fighting about circumcision. So he writes this list, and he's reminding them that they don't have it figured out either. And so he says, a person's selfish desires are set against the Spirit, and the Spirit is set against one's selfish desires. They are opposed to each other, so you shouldn't do whatever you want to do. But if you are being led by the Spirit, you aren't under the law. That's interesting. But if you aren't led by the, if you are being led by the Spirit, excuse me, you aren't under the law. The actions that are produced by selfish motives are obvious since they include sexual immorality, moral corruption, doing whatever feels good, idolatry, drug use and casting spells, hate, fighting, obsession, losing your temper, competitive opposition, conflict, selfishness, group rivalry, jealousy, drunkenness, partying, and other things that you, that I almost said that you enjoy. Things like that. Now, here's the deal. You probably don't want to actually raise your hand, but rhetorically, raise your hand if you weren't on that list. Right? We find ourselves on there, don't we? That's the lists that Paul gives us. You see, what we like to do is to find certain ones. But when Paul gives us these lists, he's reminding us all that if we all try to live by the law, we will all fail. We've got to live by the Spirit. And if we're going to live by the Spirit, he's now going to tell us what that looks like. You see, he's telling us, try not to do those things. As a matter of fact, even more than try, don't do these things. But you've already done them. If you want to be judged by the law, you're already dead. It's already over. You already failed. But the Spirit is something different. It's no longer the law. I warn you, as I have already warned you, that those who do these kinds of things won't inherit God's kingdom. Do you catch that? We, all of us, won't inherit God's kingdom. We've all found ourselves on this list. Something's got to give. Something's got to change. Something's got to be made anew. And Paul begins to tell us, verse 22, moving directly from 21 to 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, rhetorically, you don't have to raise your hand again. Do you find yourself on this list? I hope that we do. I believe that you do. Now, sometimes we're better at some than others, right? Like, none of us are really a fan of patience, right? Unless we're just gifted with that and it's natural and you don't have to try. But like you've always heard people say, don't pray for patience. You ever prayed for patience? Yeah, I prayed for patience and I got called into ministry. So here we are. There is no law against things like this. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the self with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let's follow the Spirit. Let's not be arrogant, make each other angry, or be jealous of each other. Let's not be arrogant, make each other angry, or be jealous of each other. You see, when we look at this list of the fruits of the Spirit, I love the imagery. We talked about it a little bit during the children's moment, right? They usually say the children's moment's for the people and the sermon was for nobody, right? But we are rooted in this soil. You see, you can't just make yourself bear fruit. It has to be nurtured. It takes process. It takes nutrients. It takes photosynthesis. It takes sunlight. It takes water. It takes the right amount of heat or cold or whatever it is. There's a whole lot of variables that go into it, some that you're in control of and some that you're not in control of. But we turn ourselves over like a farmer who turns over his crops to the weather that he can't control. We turn ourselves over to a God that we can't control, who will love us and nurture us and care for us. There will be storms. There will be rain. There will be flash freezes. There will be everything that can take away the opportunity to bear fruit. But we trust that there is a God who is still working around us, but even more so than that, is still working in us. In the same way that a vine grows fruit from the inside out, God is working within us. And this understanding of who God is that we call the Spirit, right? That's what we talk about when we talk about the Trinity, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. They're one big unit. But we understand how God operates through these different aspects of who God is. And that the Spirit that God talks about, the Spirit that we're talking about, is something that can live within us and work within us, that we can take everywhere we go. When Jesus said, I am with you, he didn't mean just with the people who he stood in physical geography with. He meant, my Spirit is with you, with us, now, today, here in this place, and at work, and in the car, and everywhere that you go. You see, it's more than actions. We try to do these as actions. Let's throw back up that verse with the gifts of the Spirit, if you don't mind. I mean, when I see this, I start to turn this thing called Christianity and faith. Sometimes I'm guilty of this. I try to turn it into a checklist. Do you ever do that? And as a pastor, sometimes I try to make checklists for all of us, and I have to stop myself, or somebody in the back stands up and says, you're wrong, right? The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I try to turn them into checkboxes. Well, I've done this, and I've done this, and I've done this, and I've done this. But I think the honest truth is that we strive all the time to be those things, to be love, to be kindness, to be joy and peace. Now, yes, I want them in my life. But here's something. I love the rich imagery that Scripture gives us and that God gives us. And especially when Jesus, you know, he uses parables. He never just told us outright 99.9% of the time, right? He would tell a story so that there were many different understandings and facets to it, right? But this idea of bearing fruit, the fruit is not for the vine, right? You see, we look at this and we tend to think that this is for us. We want to bear this fruit. We want to have this in our life, and we do. Now, I do believe that it means that we can experience love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control in this world, and we want that. We need that, and I do believe that the Spirit lives in that way through us, but we are a vine planted in the soil, nurtured by the sun, given the nutrients that are necessary so that we might bear fruit. And what does fruit do? Fruit feeds something else, right? It doesn't feed itself. If you didn't pick the fruit, for the most part, it'd be just fine. It feeds something else. Does the fruit get to determine who or what it feeds? It does not. I had this black lab, my beloved black lab, Miller. I could still cry right now. I love that boy. I got him back when I was like 20. Neither one of us had a clue what in the world was going on. There was a time where both of us ate off the dollar menu at Wendy's, right? Like, that was back when we used to rub pennies together and hope they reproduced. But I had this dog, and Nikki and I, we got married. We moved into our first little apartment townhouse deal, and we found on the corner of the house, there was a blueberry bush on the corner of the units. And so, just like Heritage Park, I would have to beat the other people to the bush to get the blueberries. But it's the weirdest thing. I've never seen a dog do this. But Miller would go over to the bush, and he would pull his little teeth and his little gums up, and he would eat blueberries. And he would just chew them up and eat them. And so while I was picking them off, he would sit there and chew them up and eat them. And then the birds would come down and eat them. I think the squirrels would come get them. I'm not certain, but they would at least go in and shake the bush. We'd see them out there shaking the bush sometimes. Occasional raccoon. They bore fruit for all of creation. For everybody. They didn't keep it to themselves. It wasn't for them. It was for others. Now, the one that we're going to talk a little bit more in depth as we kind of wrap up here today is really the overarching one, and that's this idea of love, this understanding of love. And so I have a question for you, and you can actually yell out the answer. What is love? How do you know it when you see it?
Actions.
Like, can you name a specific action?
Compromise.
Why you got to be like that? Just coming at me right off the bat. She said, going to Disney World. Caring for others. That's right.
Giving.
A joy in your heart and your heart feels different.
Yes, dear.
Yes, dear. All right, you're in trouble too. I don't know what to tell you, man.
Yeah.
Now, so see, when we turn it into, I agree, love is lived out in action. Yes. But when we turn it into just actions, that's, I don't know. Like, I can pay somebody to take care of me. I can pay somebody to take me places and do stuff. It's hard to prove. You ever ask somebody or had somebody ask you, prove you love your children, prove you love whatever, prove you love. Well, I provide for them. I give them things. Well, the orphanage would do that too. Well, I put a roof over their head. Well, there are some people who would do that. Well, I provide education. Well, we all pay for that. Unless you're down in my mom's county, they have people who keep trying to not give their property taxes to education that their kids don't go to. It's crazy. But anyway, that's a sidebar. I apologize. Sometimes my mom watches and I want her to know I support her. She's not on that side. She's on the other side. I didn't mean that. But love, I like Miss Amy said it, and you're saying it too. It's the state of being, right? It's this thing that we can't grasp. You can't hold it. You can't really define it. We see Jesus on the cross. We see the life of Jesus. We think about our mothers or our fathers or our grandmothers or Miss Wanda or whatever it is. I see love in Mr. Frank and Miss May when they help people out with Good Neighbor. I see love when our groups like Mr. Robert and the Voorhees and Bruce and everybody come together and pack bags for the fuel program. I see love when Miss Betty is holding my children. I mean, how many children have passed across the knee of Miss Betty in this church, right? I see love in this church. I see it, but it's not something I can quantify. I mean, I can name it, and I know it's there when I see it. I know it when I see it, but if I tried to put it into words, if I tried to write it down, if I tried to put it in a framework and category, it wouldn't work. It is something more. You see, love is this thing that is, it transcends everything else. It transcends eternity. Miss Martha Kelsey has gone ahead of us, but our love doesn't stop. Our love doesn't end. Our love will grow. This love goes from this side to that side in a way that nothing else does. Our bodies, our resources, our thoughts, our opinions, our political parties, our whatever it is, they don't cross that divide, but our love does. It was designed that way for some unknowable reason. Love transcends it all. You've heard in 1 Corinthians, if you've ever been to a wedding, they always read this one. If I speak in tongues of human beings and of angels, but I don't have love, I am a clanging gong or a clashing cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and I know all the mysteries and everything else, and if I have such complete faith that I can move mountains, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. Now, I want you to hear that one. That one I especially love and is convicting. It says, you can do all these amazing things. I mean, I tell you what, if somebody can move a mountain, I think they were pretty impressive. Right? If they could prophesy what was going to happen, if they knew all the mysteries of the world. Elon Musk has 15 million worshipers, and he's figured out a couple of things. Not even all the things, right? Like, we love people who have things figured out. We usually think our political candidate has it figured out and should almost be worshipped, right? Like, we love to put people up on a pedestal, and this is saying, if you're doing it for any other reason than love, it doesn't say you're doing it wrong. It says you are nothing. You are nothing. You're like the vine that gets cut back and tossed in the fire. If I give away everything that I have and hand over my own body to feel good about what I've done, but I don't have love, I receive no benefit whatsoever. They're doing the actions. I can move the mountain. I can tell you what the future holds. I know all the mysteries. I gave away everything I own. I even gave over my own body. Obviously, I have done what's right. Well, if you didn't do it with love, there's no benefit whatsoever. Love is patient. Love is kind. It isn't jealous. It doesn't brag. It isn't arrogant. It isn't rude. It doesn't seek its own advantage. It isn't irritable. It doesn't keep a record of complaints. It isn't happy with injustice, but it is happy with the truth. Love puts up with all things, trusts in all things, hopes in all things, endures in all things. Love never fails. Yikes. I have failed on nearly every one of those, as I believe we probably have too, right? But this isn't telling me that it's over. It's telling me that there's something better. There's something more. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7 helps us understand the importance of this love. This is why you must make every effort to add moral excellence to your faith, and to moral excellence, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, endurance, and to endurance, godliness, and to godliness, affection for others, and to affection for others, love. Love is the pinnacle. Do you catch that? It's even put in there as built upon godliness. It's built upon godliness, but we're building from godliness up to love because that is the core state of who God is. God didn't make the earth because he wanted an ant farm to be entertained by. God made the earth and all of creation out of love. God didn't send Jesus because he just got tired of watching what was happening and wishing it was made right. God sent Jesus because God loves us and all creation. God isn't giving us the Spirit so that we follow some list of rules and we're always perfect. He gives us the Spirit because he loves us and he wants us to love each other. You see, love is a vulnerable self-giving to others. It's not a state of being in that we just experience it here, though we do. But it becomes fruit. It becomes for others. All of these other fruits fall under this category of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is gentle. Love has self-control. Love hopes for the best and wishes for the best. Believes the best. It never fails. It's the universal spiritual gift. In 1 Corinthians verse 13, it tells us that we're left with faith, hope, and love, and that love is the greatest. Even over faith and hope, love is the greatest. You see, love is the very heart of God, and love is the very person of Jesus. Now, it comes from the nurturing of the interior life. So we pray. We commune together. We take ourselves out of isolation and we put ourselves in relationship with one another and we help refine each other and care for one another. We put ourselves into situations where we're made vulnerable. Jesus is the ultimate picture of that. Could have kept himself at a distance, could have floated around in the clouds, could have taught from up there, and could have never put himself in harm's way where we would have had the opportunity to hurt him. But can you imagine the betrayal of Judas? Can you imagine the betrayal of knowing what the disciples didn't really understand what was happening? Even God made God's self vulnerable to humanity. How dare we not? How dare we not? Our fruit wasn't meant for the vine. It was for others, deserving or not. The vine doesn't get to decide. So I have an honest question. I'm going to ask you to throw it out, and then we're going to wrap up, I promise. What makes you feel loved that you want to say in front of all these people and the internet?
Family.
Your family. That's awesome. She had this, the particular verse or love or the particular verse painted on the Sunday school wall this fall. Did not know that.
Someone listening.
Have you ever, I'm gonna jump off down for just a second. We have people come through and ask for assistance regularly. And do you know what they want? They want assistance, right? Not, I mean, yeah. They want the $40 for their water bill. But you know what they want? They want somebody to listen to their story. And you know what I don't want to do? I don't want to spend the time to listen to their story. I want to cut them the business check, give them what they need, and get them out the door. They come looking for assistance, absolutely. They need it, they want it. But what they really want? Somebody who cares. Somebody who loves them. Somebody who listens. Look, I know we went over time. Anybody else? When I have premarital counseling, I make the couples write down their list of what makes them feel loved is confidential to them, and then I get them to swap lists, and I tell them to keep those lists and to pull them out on their anniversaries or times where they're not feeling loved by their other so that they can begin to do the things that make their other feel loved. I would encourage you to do the same. If you've never thought about it, what makes you feel loved? And then I want you to do those things for somebody else, but here's the key thing. You have to treat people the way that makes them feel loved. Not the way that you interpret love, not the way that it makes you. You can start there. But they may receive love differently. It may mean you have to listen when you don't like listening. It may mean, heaven forbid, it's acts of service. Come on. Right? Like, can we just do gifts and be done with it? But whatever it is, you are responsible for loving them that way. Not for loving them the way that you want to love them and for them to just have to deal with it and understand that that's love. That's not love. That's selfishness. That's arrogance. Paul writes about that just a few verses before. But it's to love someone in the way that they ask you to love them. If your thoughts and actions don't make others feel loved, then we have some interior work to do. And we all fall in that category. Paul helps us see that with all these lists. This applies to all of us. And we'll never attain the fullness of the goals until perfection. But we as Methodists, we as people who believe in sanctification and the power of the Spirit, we believe that we can continue on and we can continue trying and we can get close. And that's what matters. I want you to think about the things in your life. I want you to think about your social media posts. Do other people feel loved when they read them? Or just the people who agree with you in your echo chamber? I want you to think about your political parties. Does the rhetoric they use on TV and their social media, does that make people feel loved? Or does it make people feel othered? Because if it does, it's your job to stop it and change it. Not to just let it happen. That's cowardice. In our baptismal vows, we will stand up against justice, injustice, and violence and oppression and evilness. It doesn't say we won't participate in it, although that's implied. It says we won't let it happen. That's the type of country we want. That's the type of families we want. And that's the kind of people we have to be if we're going to live in that kind of place and if we're going to create that kind of kingdom. We are the vine. Our interior life, our God, our spirit. I believe we will bear fruit. I believe that we already are, but I believe there's more work to be done. And let us not fool ourselves into thinking it's for us. And let us not fool ourselves into thinking we're the judges of who it is for. It's not how nature's set up. That's how we made it. So that we could profit and control it. It was given to all of us. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, gosh, it's hard to be people. Most of the time, I don't know what to do. I mean, I always think I'm right, and I always believe everything I think. Convict me. Find the places in my heart and mind and life that should not be there. and get rid of them. Lord, that scares me. Make us the people you would have us to be. Make us the church you would have us to be. Fill us with your Spirit so that there's no room left for the selfish desires. Just room for yours. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.